Hello. Okay. All right. My name is Liam Blocker. I went to MPC in preschool, and I came back in 10th grade or 7th grade for Hang 10. In middle school, I was quite a crazy kid. I didn't have the best relationship with God. I remember one time even I came into the other campus and threw a piece of pizza, and it stuck up on the wall. Still surprised I didn't get kicked out by Brandon. If there's any middle school guy leaders in here, I really pray for you. In middle school, my relationship with God was pretty dormant. I got baptized after 8th grade and started growing in my faith, which would not be possible without this church. I had the blessing to be able to go on both mission trips this year. Mission trips are very fun, whether you're getting chased by a giant African toad or going on hill sprints with the boys or even just worshiping at the top of your lungs. In Tennessee, we stayed at Milligan University and did all the church stuff during the morning and night and a mission trip in the afternoon. We went to an elderly home and taught the forgotten elderly people the love of God. And the pastor there wasn't really getting through to me until the last night. He gave a really good talk, and he said, "It's easy to focus on your relationship with God when you spend a week away from all your distractions, but the day you get back home, all of your problems are still there, and that's when you truly need to grow in your relationship with God." The whole week had me distracted from my problems, but this talk made me think about the main distraction I had left behind at home. For those of you who may not have heard about Riley, he went to Creekside High School with me, and this spring he tragically passed from an accident in Julian Creek. Riley was one of my nicest, most loving friends. He always had a smile on his face, and you could go to him with all of your problems. From our after-school hangouts to going drifting in my car, I truly never had a boring moment with Riley. Since Riley's death, I've grown very close with his family. His family is very beautiful. He has a mother, Miss Sarah, his father, Mr. Ben, and his younger brother, Alex. Miss Sarah loves to take pictures of the cardinals that come to visit her because, for those of you who don't know, cardinals are said to be a gift sent from heaven. And ever since Riley's death, I have what I like to call my Riley moments. And on the last night of the Tennessee trip, I had one of those moments. So I asked Brandon if I could go sit by myself and read some verses and pray. During my prayer, I said, "God, please give me something, any sign to know Riley is okay." And moments after I prayed this, a cardinal came and landed right by where I was sitting. This is the most in-my-face moment I've ever had with God. I know some of you in here may be dealing with difficult circumstances as well. Some of you may be dealing with a recent cancer diagnosis. Some of you may be dealing with the complications of divorce or the loss of a loved one. But my challenge to you is to always remember what God taught me on that trip. God is always with you and loves you through your darkest times. Romans 8:38 through 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of our God, that is Jesus Christ our Lord." No matter what your problems are, even death can't separate us from Jesus' love. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "That is why, for Christ's sakes, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships, in persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." No matter how weak we feel or how lost we may feel or how abandoned we may feel, God will always be stronger than whatever trial we are facing. Thank you.
Hello. Hi. All right, cool. Hi. My name's Evan Brown, and I just graduated from Bartram Trail High School. I've been a member here at MPC for about 7 years, and I've fell in love with the youth group ever since sixth grade. Once I started high school, I've always wanted to go on a mission trip. And fortunately, that was before COVID. So I was able to go to Costa Rica, and it was awesome. Now, my sophomore and junior year, we were unable to go, which is very unfortunate, but I knew that just something was going to happen my senior year, and I'm thankful for that. And when I heard that we were allowed to go back, I was so excited to be able to go do God's work in another country. In Mark 4:31 through 32, Jesus said, "It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. With such big branches, the birds can perch in its shade. Us going on a mission trip is like a mustard seed. The work we do may not seem like a lot, but it is detrimental and makes a lifelong, everlasting impact in the places we go. And it grows into something bigger than we know. All I could focus on for this mission trip was how I could grow my faith and others. Now, being one of, six of us that have gone, I was kind of nervous that people were going to be looking at me like, you've been, what do we do? What do we do? But I was hopefully just able to go through. Throughout my life, I've always had a strong relationship with God, but this week has always showed me a couple things. First thing that God showed me is that no matter who you are, what language you speak, the clothes you have on, and what country you live in, we all worship the same God. In Psalms 95, 6 through 7, it says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." If you look closer in that scripture, it says, "our God and we are the people." Now, in Costa Rica, the seniors, we were taken to El Pozo, which is the ministry area where they have VBS and everything. And the seniors were able to experience a youth group ran by 6-8 Ministries. So after about an hour of just playing games with a bunch of Costa Rican kids, well, high schoolers, I should say, we started worship. And the songs that Pablo decided to play, which is one of the workers of 6A, were half in Spanish and half in English. Now, after worshiping for a couple minutes, I realized that we were worshiping the same God. And it sounds silly, but it's true. Like, different language, it just threw me off. Now, we can see a glimpse of this in John's writing in Revelation 7, 9 through 10. After I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language. Sorry, that threw me off. Before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands and cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And yes, Christianity is all over the world, but being able to experience it in a third world country, just the love of God, just shows how vast and how amazing he is. Realization hit me that any time the Bible mentions we or our, he's not talking about NPC. He's not talking about Jacksonville. He's talking about the 7 continents of the world, and that's truly powerful. So the ministry that we were able to go with was 6-8 Ministries, founded locally in Jacksonville, which is pretty unique considering we're in Jacksonville. The motto of 6-8 Ministries is Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." What I love about the significance of this passage is that it shows us what we should focus on, Christians living our life through God and Jesus. Now, going back to Costa Rica, I was extremely nervous because, if you've heard, I was that one kid that ended up in the hospital with a busted molar, completely fractured and a busted chin. Now you're thinking, this kid's absolutely crazy for wanting to go back after something that dramatic. Now, you're not wrong, but there's something about Costa Rica that changes people. Can you show the picture? I got to ride a horse. It was awesome. I've never ridden a horse. And either I'm just that big or it's a small horse. it was scary, as you could see. Maybe I won't ride a horse again. I don't know. Maybe Costa Rica's special because you realize how either laid back everyone is, how much they love just having, they just love everything that they have, and they are fortunate for everything that they have. This mission trip really hopefully opened up everyone's eyes and shows you that God's not working in Jacksonville. God's working everywhere. And if you have any doubts about serving, going out to some other country on a mission trip, just do it. You will not regret it. Maybe you'll get to ride a horse. Who knows? Another thing I learned on this mission trip Jesus showed me that consistently he uses broken people. Spencer, the head of 6-8 Ministries, talked a lot about how Jesus chose 12 broken people, the 12 disciples. And the 12 disciples were just citizens of the town that they lived in. They were far, far from perfect. This week's theme was At the Table, and we looked at how Jesus, time and time again, would invite people of all different kinds of stories and backgrounds to sit with him at his table. We also learned the cultural significance of being a guest at the table. There are countless stories of Jesus inviting imperfect people to join him at his table. If we look at the Last Supper, Jesus was sitting with his 12 disciples, and he was knowingly sharing the table with tax collectors, backstabbers, betrayers, and doubters. The point is, it didn't stop him from loving them and stop them from including them at his table. Now, another point is that if you've been around high school students, you know that we are all imperfect. But last week, God was able to use 46 imperfect students and leaders to help share his love with others. In a small way, we are showing the people that we served that they are always welcomed at Jesus' table. Now, last thing I have to say is my challenge for you, everyone here this week, is to find someone in your life to invite to Jesus' table. It might be someone at your work that you despise, it might be a family member, or it could be an enemy. But just make the connection to invite them to Jesus' table. Thank you.
Hello. Ooh. Hi, my name is Nikki Amador. I just graduated from Mandan High School, and in 1 month, I will be attending Florida Tech to study chemical engineering. I have been coming to MPC since the seventh grade, and I fell in love with the youth program here that I decided to stick with it. And I'm glad that I did, because I wouldn't be here today if I didn't. Fun fact about me is that I got stopped 3 times at the Costa Rican airport by security. So if we're being honest here, I actually hated my freshman year in Costa Rica because I felt alone. Although I did feel Jesus, it wasn't through my group, but instead through the little Costa Rican kids there. During our week in Costa Rica both times, I've had the pleasure to meet Pablo, who works for 6-8 Ministry. The first time I saw him there, he just helped out in the city. And this time, he actually was in charge of the youth ministry out in the ranch, which I thought was really cool to see his progression through the ministry. In Costa Rica, every day we got to hear somebody new who worked, we got to hear a sermon from the different people that worked with 6-8, and one night it was Pablo. And during his talk, I really connected to it because it made me think of my trip my freshman year. Because the entire time while I was there, I was miserable. I really wanted to go home, I didn't have my friends on the trip, and everyone there already knew each other. And I just felt really left out. During his talk, Pablo said, "I didn't want to disappear. I just wanted to be found." He talked about how when he was younger, he would always go to church, but no one would ever ask, pay attention to him, or even try to get to know him. At one point, he thought about never coming back to the church again because of this, because no one showed him kindness, because no one wanted to try. Could you imagine just how different that story would have gone if somebody would have asked him, "Hey, how are you?" Or, "Hey, how was your day?" Instead of just judging him and being like, "Oh, why is that kid even here?" That is the type of stuff that makes people grow further away from God than closer to him. And as his people, we should want to bring everyone, no matter who they are, towards God. We can act like Jesus just by loving on others as he did to us. And by doing this, we can show people who might not know Christ his love for us through our words and our actions. It won't always be easy, but we can always just take a look at Jesus in the scripture and see how he handles this. In Costa Rica, our theme for the week was At the Table. This is about how Jesus constantly invited people to join him throughout his life, but also especially during his final days and during the final supper. If you take a look, you can see all the disciples were not perfect. In fact, You can see that they were nowhere near being perfect, and yet Jesus had a purpose for each one of them, and he handpicked them to be his close followers. Jesus even invited Peter to join him at the table, even though he knew what Peter was going to do to him. And he did the same to Judas when he knew that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus still loved Peter and Judas. So if Jesus could do that, why can't we at least try to show some love to those people who we don't like? And don't lie and say that you like everyone, because deep down, there is at least one person who you just can't stand. But for once, why can't we all show a little love and kindness to one another? In John 13:34, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. This everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Could you imagine the type of world we would live in if we at least tried to love one another like Jesus did? We all have the bad habit of judging people before we actually get to know them. And this might be one of the most harmful things that you can do to someone and to the kingdom of God. During this trip, I was able to get to know so many kind-hearted youth. If you just spend a few minutes talking to them, you can sense all the love in each one of their hearts. And I almost missed out on some of those relationships because I had some preconceived judgments about some of them. And I can say that my trip wouldn't have been the same if I didn't give them the chance. Even when we think we aren't good enough, that isn't true, because Jesus is constantly inviting all of us to his table. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. But guess what? At the end of the day, God still loves us because we're trying. So who are we to be judging one another when we have all at least one thing in common, which is our love for Christ? People grow when they start to follow Jesus, and you can see this in the Bible, like Paul. While we were in Costa Rica, we were all like Christ through our actions. Whether it was playing with the kids or building a house for Chili, who is the strongest, kindest worker you will ever meet, who has been living in a shack on the concrete where all the tools are, we were sharing the love of Christ to others. So why can't we do that here in our community? Share discipleship with others here? Why did it take us to travel over 3,000 miles to share the gospel and the love of God to others? It is not only just older people, but let's start acting like Jesus when we are young. Why waste your time on earth? Us youth may think that we have all the time in the world, but we may not. We don't know how much time we have left on earth. So to think, oh, well, I can just start acting or following Jesus when I'm older, is truly a foolish thing to do. Because if you let Jesus in your life starting now, it is the best decision you could ever make. Now, life won't necessarily be easier, but you will be stronger because you will have the knowledge that you are never truly alone. Because Jesus will always be there with you through the good days and through the bad ones. My challenge for all of you is to try and get to know someone new, or try to be kinder to those who you don't like or to those you may not know well. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing all these youth to go on mission and to serve you this summer. Thank you so much. And thank you for allowing us to come back and share the knowledge that we gained through these trips, to be able to share it to everyone here. And hopefully everyone can take what we learned and use that in their everyday lives and just share the love out in the community. Share to people that we may not be perfect, but God will always want us and God will always be with us and love us. Amen.